Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Speaking of horrible things, coming up next, Daryl Ryder.
Whoa!
Ripped Ken Carmen. Oh. Let me finish the sentence.
Oh, okay.
Ripped Ken Carmen the other day. I heard that. That fat joke was a Vince Carter like slam dunk.
Wow, Daryl, what do you got to say to that?
I got my karma this week, I guess.
What happened?
Do I actually need to explain what happened this week?
To me, yes.
No, we don't. No, we do not. We do not need to do that. It's Friday. And if you think
inside.
I'm staying late for a meeting, you are crazy. I will dump all of you and go to dead air before I allow you to do that. Ain't happening.
Good inside bits happening.
Nope.
Oh, wow.
Almost. Oh, there's nothing inside about this. Trust me. Very public.
Almost lost control of the steering wheel there for a second. All right.
I will send you the screen grabs, Matt.
Daryl, what do you think of the schedule there, buddy? Let's just start out with that.
Yeah, good opportunity for the Browns to start hot. It gets a little tougher down the stretch. I really think that in November, the back-to-back against what I'm calling them the Killer Bees, the Bills and the Buccaneers, could make for some compelling football there. But overall, I think that this sets up very favorably. The football gods smiled upon the Browns, and hopefully they're able to take advantage, especially early in the season. I think that they have an opportunity to start really, really hot and do something that they haven't done in decades, and that is put together a winning streak to start the season.
Daryl, I don't think there's any question they should go 4-0 to start the year, regardless of the quarterback. Do you agree with that?
Well, I don't know about regardless of the quarterback, but they certainly can win the first two games regardless of the quarterback. I will concede that. I really like them the Thursday night against the Steelers at home on Prime. I like them winning that game, no question about it. I think a 4-0 start is absolutely reasonable because Atlanta is definitely beatable. There's a big part of me now. We're not supposed to root for anything as media members. We're supposed to remain objective, but I can't lie. Like, now I'm rooting for Baker Mayfield to be traded to Carolina. Like, I think that would be an incredibly compelling week. You know, Baker against his former team and the dude that replaced him to kick off the 2022 season. I think that would be just simply outstanding theater. But yeah, Panthers, Jets, Steelers, Falcons, 4-0, very possible, but let's be honest about it. They're probably going to start 3-1 just because of the nature of, you know, the law of averages and the, you know, football gods and stuff like that. But 4-0, very doable.
Matt, take it away.
Tell me about, you look at the schedule and you go the first four are obviously, like I said, all winnable. But then that October schedule is pretty brutal, Daryl. And is there one game that you say you take the L? Is it the Buffalo game or is it one of those in that second quadrant there?
Well, when I look at the October schedule, I think Browns-Chargers last year was one of the more memorable games, if not more entertaining games that the team played. Unfortunately, they weren't able to hold on to the lead in the fourth quarter, and they let that one slip away. I certainly feel like that's a winnable game for them. The Patriots, very winnable, even though it's Bill Belichick. probably his last time coming to Cleveland. Still need to be nervous about that. Baltimore is going to be tough. I have a tremendous respect for that organization. I think it's a very good football team. To me, it's a three-team race to win the division. It's between Baltimore, Cincinnati, and the Browns. I give the edge to the Bengals because they're the defending conference champions, and I think that they deserve their just due respect. And there's just something really cool about the fact that the Browns get to play on Monday Night Football on Halloween, hosting Joe Burrow and the Bengals. I think that atmosphere is going to be beyond phenomenal down at First Energy Stadium.
Daryl Ryder joining us here, brought to you by Shavin Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, again, with some of these other games that are there, do you like primetime games a whole bunch, or do you just prefer the 1 o'clock?
Well, professionally, I hate them because you're working till 3, 4, 5 in the morning. But when you're playing in primetime, Ken, that means you've got a good football team. So, yes, I prefer the primetime games because that means I'm covering good football. The Browns are relevant. They're a good team. They want them on television. They only got the two primetime games locked into the schedule, the Monday nighter and, of course, the Thursday nighter in week 3 against the Steelers. Advantage Browns there because both of those games are home games for them as opposed to being on the road. But, you know, it's interesting that the league built in this flex scheduling for week 15 as well as week 18, not just with kickoff times, Ken, but the actual days, right?
Yeah.
Week 15, they're going to play, and 18, it's either going to be a Saturday or Sunday kickoff. And then, of course, the kickoff time still to be determined on top of that. And it's against two divisional foes, home against the Ravens, and then to wrap up the season at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh. And, you know, that game might not even mean a whole lot to the Browns at that point because they may have already clinched a playoff spot or something like that. But, I think primetime games are a good thing for the Browns, But, yeah, outside of those primetime games, everything else is scheduled for those 1 p.m. kickoffs. I was surprised that they didn't get any of those 4 o'clock windows.
I also don't think, you know, with the Deshaun Watson stuff, in my personal thoughts, I just don't think that the bye week or anything has anything to do with it. I think that this is clearly a different circumstance with everything. I think they're being as careful as they possibly can. I mean, you have a player who is adamant that he is innocent of these things that he's been accused of, both criminally and civilly, and obviously there was no criminal charge brought against him. So I think that the NFL is thinking about this in this term, knowing that it's a sensitive thing, knowing that he is a quarterback, a very important position, and a cornerstone. The quarterback is the cornerstone of any franchise. So I just think that that is a completely separate issue from week 9. That must mean something. Oh, they only have a few primetime games. That must mean something too. I just don't see it that way, Daryl.
Well, the primetime games are in the first half of the season, so you can't draw any conclusions with that. The other thing, as far as what you were talking about in the situation involving Watson, you know, as the civil stuff goes on, I don't even know how the NFL can suspend him this year for a couple of reasons. One, the discovery phase of the civil action is going to go into early July, I believe. And the trials aren't going to take place until next year. So if you're the NFL, how can you wrap up an investigation into a situation before the discovery phase is even completed in the civil action? That just doesn't seem fair to me. And because of the timeline involved in these civil allegations that have been made and when they will see a courtroom, I think it's more appropriate that the league does wait until next year when these cases begin to be resolved. I think that that's the right thing to do. I think it's the fair thing to do. The other thing, too, is if they, whatever decision the NFL makes, right, I think everybody is assuming that Deshaun Watson will be suspended. And to me, that means that everyone's assuming that he's guilty of wrongdoing. And again, that's not fair to Deshaun Watson. And again, that's not me saying that I don't believe the alleged victims and whatnot. It's just I looking at the situation objectively. I don't know how the league can suspend him when they're still doing discovery in the civil action. And the second part of that is whatever ruling they have, it's going to impact the civil action. So if he does get suspended this year, that's going to impact the cases in the trials next year. Or if he doesn't get suspended, I think that that has the same effect. It has an impact. So I don't think the league can take any action again. I mean, they can. They can do whatever they want. But I'm just saying objectively, fairly to Deshaun Watson, I don't think that they can take any action until these civil cases begin seeing resolution.
You know, we didn't even talk about this, Ken and I, before he came on, Daryl, but they didn't put the Browns at Houston game, Deshaun Watson's return to H-Town, until week 13. Just realized that.
Yeah, it's not in a prime window, and I think a big part of that is that the Houston Texans, they are in a rebuilding situation down there. Let's be honest about it. So they're not going to be a national television draw. Not a lot of interest there outside of the two markets, Cleveland and Houston. Sure, I'm sure that there'll be some external interest as far as Deshaun making his return to Houston after sitting out last season. But yeah, the fact that that game not only was scheduled in week 13, but the fact that it didn't get a prime window, don't want to read too much into it, but I think that that has more to do with the fact that the Houston Texans, quite frankly, are not expected to be very good this season.
By the way, and I know the league wants to do this and put divisional games at the end of the year for rivalries and maybe the division's up on the line, but
which they did for the Browns, three of the last five are against AFC North foes.
But like Browns Steelers every year, last game of the year is starting to get stale.
I think it's the 15th time, something like that, that they've played. And yeah, it is. I mean, look, Browns Steelers on national TV too. I can't imagine that that's all that appealing to a national TV audience every single year. But you know, there is a good storyline there. Mitchell Trubisky projected to be the starting quarterback, the Mentor, Ohio native, playing against, returning to Cleveland to play against his hometown Browns. So that's a little nice early season type of a scenario. But I mean, any AFC North, I do agree with them ending the season against the divisional opponent. I absolutely agree with that. But I also agree with you. Yeah, the fact that it always seems to be at the end of the year, Browns v. Steelers
every year. Yeah,
every year, and also at Heinz Field, right? I mean, it seems like every year they travel to Heinz Field to end their season, and then often they return without their head coach. I'm not saying that's happening this year; just making a joke because that was the running joke, right? Every time the Browns would end the season in Pittsburgh, the question would be, does the coach get to make the bus ride back with the team? Don't think that'll be an issue this year, but yeah, I would have liked to see maybe end against Baltimore, end it against Cincinnati.
Daryl Ryder brought to you by Chauvin Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. I say trade Baker Mayfield to Carolina right now.
Yes.
Right now, right before the season. And it's not like, I'm not trying to be mean-spirited or anything like that. That's not what I'm trying to do. I just think like it would add heat. Like everybody says, well, and us in the media say it. Well, the locker room didn't like Baker. Okay. He's clearly the best quarterback. Like, let's face it right there. Let's go after it right there. And I think it adds heat. And I think it's a great way to start your season where, okay, you guys don't like the guy. We're going to play the guy now. Week one. Let's go.
Tremendous theater. It would be. Absolutely 100% agree with you, Ken. As I said earlier, we don't root as media members. But in this case, I'm totally rooting for Andrew Berry to make that happen. Please, please, football gods. Make a trade with Carolina happen so it's Baker v. Deshaun in week one to get the season started. And again, shouldn't matter, right? Because you if you're the Browns, you felt you already upgraded your quarterback position. Baker's not your franchise quarterback, so you really shouldn't be worried about having to beat the guy.
There's some, we got mini camp coming up this week and everything else. Daryl, what else is going on? Yeah, what else is going on that is striking your fancy here?
Well, they've got 7 of their 9 draft picks under contract. It would not shock me that if they get the 2 fourth rounders, Perry and Winfrey, and Cade York, wouldn't shock me if they get those 2 contracts done today or at least before the weekend is over. So good job there by Andrew Berry. It also helps the collective bargaining agreement, has all these salaries slotted depending where you were picked in the draft. So it's going to be interesting to see some of these young guys because you're not talking first and second round picks here. You're talking about third to seven. And again, it's not to say you can't find talent in those rounds, but I think people need to temper their expectations. Cade York obviously is going to have a tremendous impact as a rookie because he's the kicker, right? I think David Bell, outside of York, I think he has the potential to have the greatest impact on this football team as a rookie. I'm very curious. I love Perry and Winfrey and the energy he brings. Now I want to see him on a field. I want to see him in brown and orange and see what the young man can do. Michael Woods, who they drafted, I think it was in the sixth round, another receiver. Interested to see what he can do, right? Because all the conversation is, do the Browns need to sign a veteran? I say it's not going to happen because, quite frankly, they've invested so many draft picks at that particular position. So it should be fun this weekend to see all these young kids on the field for the first time, getting their work in and you know, just trying to kind of guess who's going to have the biggest impacts on this roster, which is, in pretty good shape on both sides of the football.
Daryl, David Bell, am I crazy to say that I think he's going to be a Pro Bowler someday?
No, I don't. He's very adept at catching the football, which is somewhat of a requirement to play the position. He's got great, great hands. He is a very good route runner. People want to talk about his speed because he's not a burner. But your wide receivers, all of them don't have to be burners. Let's not forget, Anthony Schwartz is pretty quick. Donovan Peoples-Jones is pretty quick. So they have the ability to kind of stretch the field a little bit. So no, I don't think that you're crazy to say that David Bell could eventually be a Pro Bowler. And as I said, I think he's going to have, as a rookie, the greatest impact outside of Cade York among all these rookies. He's going to get an opportunity. Maybe it's an unfair expectation from my standpoint, Ken, but I kind of feel like that come the stretch run of the season, I think he's going to work his way into being that number two receiver. I'm not slighting Donovan Peoples-Jones or Schwartz, but I just kind of feel like, you know, not only how the organization views David Bell, but just his talent and his ability. I think there's a good opportunity for him to really play his way into that number two receiver role.
Tell you one thing. I mean, it when you have this kind of running game and this kind of offensive line, I love the pick of David Bell. I'm not going to go as far as Ken's going to go with stardom and stuff, but man, it just sets up nicely for some of these young receivers, especially with the circus that went on last year, to just step up and be good. And if you get back to running the football like they did 2 years ago and really pounding people, that'll open things up, right, Daryl, for guys like David Bell?
Yeah, it should. And my goodness, they have five running backs now. I mean, I realize Dimitri Felton's kind of the Swiss Army knife. He's a running back slash receiver, but they got five running backs. I don't know how you keep all these guys, into it, if you will, with getting them touches or whatnot. You certainly don't need to throw them in the return game as far as having somebody return, because you went ahead and brought in Pro Bowler Jamarcus Bradley to handle that this year from the Bears. So, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, they're 1-2. And then, yeah, it's going to be a fun competition. I think the chart's going to stay the same. I think it's going to be Chubb and Hunt 1-2 with DeErnest being number 3, Jerome Ford and Dimitri Felton 4 and 5. I don't know how they keep all five of these guys. Part of me thinks that there's going to be a trade in training camp. I think Andrew Berry's going to make a trade in camp. I do.
Wow. Daryl leaving it hot. It's the way you want to leave it. Daryl, thank you.
You bet, guys. Have a great weekend.
The dangerous one. The dangerous one, Daryl Ryder. Brought to you by Schaubin Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. 9 o'clock, Nick Wilson up next. In the words of Ricky from Trailer Park Boys, I hate to say I told her so, but I told her so.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.